Could we stand one more time and lift our hands to the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we worship you. We extol you. Oh God, you're a God to be praised, a God to be honored. Oh God, to be loved. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank God. I feel the power of God here in the sanctuary tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I believe we have entered into a spirit of worship. Every testimony, every song, every offering of praise, amen, has helped to usher us into the presence of God. Hallelujah. We are in His presence tonight. Amen. Right here, right now. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Would you reach out to the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Let's honor the Lord in worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad that we're in the kingdom tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. Amen. It doesn't come by is sitting as a spectator. Amen. If you enter the kingdom, it will be on purpose. If you come to Jesus, it will be a deliberate act. According to faith in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. Praise God. Amen. The Lord Jesus is getting ready a church. Amen. Without a spot, without a wrinkle. And I want to do everything that I possibly can to help somebody, amen, to know Jesus Christ. Amen. To obtain eternal life. Amen. Because if we don't help them to find Him, amen, there's a lot of people that will never know Jesus, that will be lost without God, lost and damned to a devil's hell for all eternity. But we have the message. Amen. We have the message of hope and salvation. You know the way. Amen. We need to point people to Jesus today. Can you say praise the Lord? If you have your Bibles, we want you to turn to Mark, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse. And that we're going to read a quite lengthy portion of Scripture tonight. I believe that the Word of God is powerful. And God can do more than any effort of flesh. We'll allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts and our minds tonight. There's power in the Word of God. In Mark 10 and verse 17, the Scripture reads, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I obeyed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, 'How hardly or how difficult shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?' And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, 'Children, how hard or how difficult is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.' And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' And Jesus, looking upon them, said, 'With men it is Everybody say it. Impossible. But not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an 100-fold now, not an eternity. Now. In this time. That's right now, today. Houses. The rich young ruler had all that. Jesus said, if you give it away, you'll receive 100-fold, not in eternity, not in a spiritual measure, but literally will receive now in this time. Houses. Amen. And brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with, and everybody say it, with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. God, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us by your strength and your spirit. Lord, to impress upon our hearts and our minds the importance of the kingdom of God, that we might press our way into the kingdom. Lord, that we might be willing to sacrifice, if need be, the ultimate sacrifice that we might obtain eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to preach to you tonight on entering the kingdom. The most important thing that any man or any woman could ever do is to enter the kingdom of God. There's not anything in this world, fortune, fame, houses, land, money, nothing that this world has to offer that could ever compare to the blessings of God that He has promised, not only in eternity, but in this present time. Because God cannot lie. God is true. The Bible said, let God be true and let every man be a liar. And so the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Jesus Christ, amen, made a statement here in the book of Mark that is astonishing. Because He not only promised future blessing, we know that whatever we give up, whatever we sacrifice in this world for the kingdom of God and for His name's sake, that we're going to be rewarded, amen, in eternity. But He made an astonishing statement that I think that many times is totally ignored, or it is somehow looked over, that Jesus said, He said, there is no man. Now that's pretty straightforward. there are no exceptions. That no man that hath left a house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and for the gospel's sake that shall not receive a hundredfold. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but that means 100 times, does it not? That he will receive 100 times greater blessing, amen, in houses, amen, in brethren, in brothers and sisters, and mothers and children and land. Why? Because when you sell out everything, amen, for the kingdom of God, amen, God blesses you with a family, amen, that is far greater than you can imagine. Amen. We are brethren. We are a part of the family of God. We are closer, amen, in relationship. We are closer in understanding. We have more in common, amen, as children of God than we do with our own blood relatives. Why? Because God hath promised us, amen, that He would bless us 100-fold if we would put Him first in everything. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Amen. I'm not just waiting till I get to heaven, amen, to enjoy the blessings of God, but I am blessed. I am, amen, so well blessed. I'm so happy because I am in the kingdom of God. I'm blessed beyond measure. Someone says, amen, how you doing? And I'll say, I am blessed. I am blessed, not just a man for a moment, but I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed. I'm enjoying the things of God. I'm blessed with things that I don't deserve. I'm blessed with material blessings as well as spiritual blessings. Amen. The North American church, amen, is one of the most blessed people on the face of the earth. While the majority of people will go to bed tonight, amen, not having sufficient to eat, not knowing where their next meal is coming from, not adequately, amen, clothed, not having a nice home and a warm bed to sleep in. As a North American Christians, we are blessed beyond measure. God has given us houses to live in. He's given us clothes to put on our back. Amen. He's given us food. Amen. That we can be blessed. Amen. With the bountiful things of the kingdom. Amen. We're blessed. Amen. You look around to your brother and your sister and say, I'm blessed. Amen. God has blessed my life. God has given me things that I never dreamed that I would have. I don't deserve it, but He blessed me. Amen. He provides. Amen. He takes care of His children. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. He said that nobody, amen, that puts the kingdom of God first. I want you to know, if you give to God first before you give to yourself, you're going to be blessed. I've never seen a man or a woman, amen, that put God first that wasn't blessed. Amen. Any man or any woman that doesn't pay their tithes and give in offerings, amen, is not going to be blessed. Amen. Why? Because God said, I'll make you put your money in a bag full of holes. I will cause that, amen, that you put away for your security, I'll cause it to be consumed because you did not bring the first fruits into the storehouse. You did not honor me with the first fruits. Amen. But when men and women put God, I want you to know, if the rich young ruler had sold everything that he had had, if he had given it all to the poor and went and followed God, amen, that he would have received 100-fold in this life and in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. You'll never outgive God. Amen. If you will put God first. Amen. You see, living for God is not about getting. It's about giving. Praise God. God blesses us. And in turn, amen, we give back to God a portion. Amen. God didn't say to bring it all to Him. He just asked for us to bring His portion. Amen. When we give, amen, what belongs to God, we're honoring the Scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we keep what belongs to God, you remember what happened to Achan? When he, amen, kept something that was devoted to God? Amen. That the children of Israel went out to battle and they were defeated by the enemy. Amen. Why? Because there was sin in the camp. Amen. If you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to, you're a thief and a robber. And the Bible says that no thief and no robber is going to enter the kingdom of God. But if you honor God and give to God what rightfully belongs to God, and if you'll be generous in your giving, amen, God will bless you abundantly. You won't have to wait till the rapture. He said, I bless you 100-fold in this present time and in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about entering the kingdom. Amen. There are some conditions for entering the kingdom. And one of the conditions is that we have got to be willing, amen, to make a total consecration to the Lord. Now this young man was very wealthy, the Bible says. He had great possessions. And Jesus told him, if he wanted to enter into the kingdom, he said, what? The question was, if you look very carefully, in verse 17, he said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You've got to be willing to do whatever God asks you to do. Amen. This young man could not be saved because he loved riches more than he loved God. If you love your wife more than you love God, you love your wife too much. If you love your children more than you love God, you love your children, amen, too much. If you love your job more than you love God, you love your job too much. Anything that you love more than you love God is a stumbling block and it'll keep you out of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now how much do I have to surrender? You got to surrender everything. Amen. Anything that God says give, you better give it, even if it's your firstborn son. God told a man by the name of Abraham one time, he said, I want you to take your only son Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice. Now did God do it or did He not? He did do it. Some people think that's unreasonable of God. No, it's not. He just wanted to see, amen, if Abraham was willing. Hallelujah. Amen. God may not, amen, actually ask you to do something, amen, that drastic. Amen. But you've got to be willing, if need be, to lay down your life for the kingdom of heaven's sake. If you're going to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said, he that saves his life is going to lose it. But he that gives his life, amen, is going to save it. I've got to be willing to put everything on the altar. Whatever it is that's a stumbling block to you, whatever it is that you struggle with, you need to bring it to God and take care of it. Amen. You need to settle up with God, because if you don't settle now, there's coming a judgment day. There's going to come a day that you're going to stand before God, and God is going to ask you to give an account. Amen. And to Him for the things He's blessed you with.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. The clothes that I wear, amen, or a blessing from God. The car that I drive, they're a blessing from God. Amen. Amen. The wife that I married, amen, was a blessing from God. The children that God gave me were a blessing, amen, from God. Amen. Amen. Everything that I have, amen, came from God. Nothing, amen, that I have, amen, I don't have anything that God didn't give me. And you think I'm going to withhold anything from God? You think I'm going to rob God? You think I'm going to hold back from God? If God said go, I'm going to say when. I'm going to do whatever God will requires of me, because I want to enter in. For the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen. If you're going to enter the kingdom, you've got to get serious with God. Amen. You can't play patty cake, amen, and enter the kingdom of God. Amen. You can't just make a simple little profession of faith and join the church if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. Amen. You can't just flash your lights, amen, if you're going to accept Jesus. But if you come to God, you're going to have to come on His terms. You're going to have to die. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to sell out. You're going to have to give it all, amen, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and only the violent take it by force. Amen. You got to get serious about living for God. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, entering the kingdom of God is serious business. Praise God. The Lord said that everyone, amen, that forsakes anything in this world for my sake and the gospel, he's going to receive a hundredfold now in this time and in the world to come, eternal life. I don't know about you, but I want my blessing. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a blessing right now. I'm going to let God bless me. Amen. But I've got to meet His conditions. I've got to observe His law. I've got to listen to His word. And I've got to exercise faith in God if I am going to receive the blessings of God. Hallelujah. If I am not blessed, if I am not blessed, it's not God's fault. If I am so selfish, if I am so in love with me and mine, amen, that I don't, amen, put my life on the line, amen, if I don't love God more than I love anything in this world, I'm not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The Bible says, amen, you have got to love God more than anything or anybody in this world. Amen. I can't, amen, be in love with the world. I can't love the world or the things of this world if I want to enter the kingdom of heaven, because all that is in the world is the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And those that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. You cannot trust in riches and trust in God. Amen. If your money's more important to you, amen, than obeying the Word of God, amen, your money's going to send you to hell. There's going to be a lot of rich people burning in the flames of hell. Amen. Jesus told a story, but it was a serious kind of a story, about a rich man and a beggar. I want you to know, I'd rather be a beggar, amen, that was in the kingdom of God, than have all the wealth and all the fame and all the fortune of this world. Because the Bible says the rich man died and went to hell, but Lazarus died and he was seen in the bosom of Abraham. I want to be with the children of God. I want to walk on streets of gold. Hallelujah. Then it may be something that just blows your mind. But Jesus said, amen, that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And he didn't say a needle's eye. A needle's eye is a little gate in the wall of a city. He didn't say that. That's not impossible. Camels go through the needle's eye, amen, all the time. It's not an impossibility. What Jesus was talking about was impossible. Amen. He said, with man, it is impossible. He wasn't talking about difficult. He was talking about impossible. He was saying, it's impossible to trust in riches and to enter the kingdom of God. Amen. We wonder why, amen, the North American church is not enjoying the revival that the rest of the world is enjoying. Why we're not seeing the miracles that the rest of the world is seeing. Why the blinded eyes are not being opened in the same, amen, degree and the same capacity as it's happening around the world. It's because we have become, amen, too lax and too comfortable. We're trusting too much in the flesh and too little in the things of God. Amen. You don't have to have money to have revival, but if you're willing to make the sacrifices for revival, amen, God will supply the money. God will supply, amen, everything that you need, whatever it takes, amen, God will provide. We are complete in Him who's the head of the body. Amen. Why? Because He said, if you're willing to sacrifice, I'll reward you 100 times. Oh, hallelujah. With houses. Amen. Amen. If you want, amen, God to give you a house or a home to live in, amen, then put God first. If you want God to provide you with a better job or just any job, amen, then put God first. Amen. If you want to enjoy the bountiful blessings of the kingdom of God, amen, then put God first. He said, I'll reward you 100-fold. Amen. In this present time and in the world to come, I'll give you eternal life. Now what about all those poor souls in Ethiopia and the deserts of North Africa? What about all those poor people that are just struggling to get by? Amen. That love God and worship God. Amen. To have 100 times more, amen, than you've got isn't that hard. Amen. When you ain't got nothing. Amen. Talked to a man one time. Went in the used car business. He said, when I went in business, he said, I started out with nothing. He said, now I've got four times as much. You know what four times zero is? I don't know how many mathematicians we got here. When you ain't got much, when a dollar's all you got, $100 looks like a lot. He didn't say it'd make you rich. He said he'd bless you 100 times more. If all you got's 50 cents, amen, praise God. Oh, man, just think about it. And $50 looks pretty good. Amen. He said he would bless you 100 times more. In this time and in the world to come, eternal life. I want you to know, even the Christians in Ethiopia, amen, don't have to chase the chickens. Amen. Why? Because God said, I'll bless you if you'll sacrifice. If you'll give, I'll give back to you. Heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Amen. And if he doesn't do it, then God's a liar. And God cannot lie. Let me believe the promises of God. Amen. It's more than just a pretty story. Jesus said, if you will, I will. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He said, I tell you, there's just one thing that you lack. Pretty good guy. Man, this guy, he must have been quite a religious man. Because he said he had, Jesus only asked him, if he had kept six commandments, there's a whole lot more commandments than what Jesus started him off with six, because he knew that most of us have a hard time just keeping six, much less 10 or 600. He just asked him about six of them. And in the course of him answering, Jesus found out that he wasn't altogether truthful. He said, oh, I kept all them since I was a youth. Now, how many young people you know, amen, that have not messed up? Amen. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a what? Child. The Bible talks about the folly of youth. Amen. We have all done our foolish deeds, especially when we're young. Sometimes, amen, we carried it on even beyond our youth. Amen. There are some people that never seem to grow up. Amen. But especially when we're young and we're still in training and we're still trying, amen, to get a grip on life. Amen. We are not very mature when we're young. Now, some of you might have been born mature. He said, oh man, that's not a problem. I've kept all them commandments since I was a youth. Even that honor your father and your mother. I guarantee you, if you talk to mom and dad, they might have had a different story. I know mine would have. And if you talk to my aunts and uncles, I must have been a little devil. I don't think that I was near as bad as what they'll try to tell you. But I know I wasn't perfect. And my Bible says that no man is justified by the works of the law. Amen. The only way that you can, amen, have eternal life is to keep every one of the laws. Not just six of them. The Bible says if you break one law, you're guilty of what? Of all of them. He wasn't going to enter into heaven, amen, by keeping the law. If we could enter heaven by the works of the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Jesus knew he was lying. And incidentally, lying is against the law of God. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And I guarantee you, everybody in this building has told a lie at some point in their life. Come on now. Is there anybody here that's never committed a sin? Amen. If you are, amen, I'm going to be scared of you. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Jesus said, just one thing thou lackest. Woo! Amen. Just think, I don't have to keep all 600 or so laws. How many were there laws? I don't remember. It was 600? something like 600 laws in the Old Testament. That's a lot of law, amen, to even know about, much less keep. But Jesus said, just one thing you got to do. Oh, that sounds easy. And that Jesus might put it to you in a little different semantics than he put it to the rich young ruler, but it all boils down to the same thing. There's only one thing that you have to do in order to inherit eternal life. And you know what that is? It's a three-letter word. Die. You've got to die to your flesh. You've got to surrender your will to His will. You've got to put God, amen, first in your life. Amen. Jesus, just one thing you lack. And Jesus knew His weakness. And so He knows yours. God knows every one of our weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We all have areas that we need to work on in our life. Amen. And Jesus knew His weakness. It wasn't the only one, but it was the one, the most glaring weakness. It was that He was in love with riches. He trusted in His wealth. He trusted, amen, in what He had. He was probably thinking, man, he said, if I just lay it on thick, he said, I'm sure that He'll make me, amen, one of the trustees or part of the church board. Maybe I can be one of the disciples. Amen, because, man, I've got some dough. Some of these guys, I hear, they're just plain old fishermen. Yeah. Amen, I can really upgrade the kingdom. Amen, if He'll accept me. Amen. That man, the kingdom of God doesn't know what they're passing up. Amen. If they pass me up. And so the rich young ruler, he came a running to Jesus. Amen. He had lots of zeal. He was full of life and energy. Amen. Man, it just occurred to him that this man had the key to eternal life. And so he came running to Jesus. And fell down at His feet and began to worship Him. Man, he was turning it on. He was buttering Him up. He was fixing to pop the big one. And the next words that came out of His mouth was, "Good Master." And the first thing that Jesus said to him is, "Why did you call me good?" You know, Jesus not only hears what we say, but He knows our motive. Why did you call me good? Seeing that there's only one good, and that is God. God's the only one that's good. And right from the very beginning, amen, He was setting Him up. Jesus was trying to impress upon Him, there ain't nobody good but God. Amen. He knew this young man, amen, was a sinner just like everybody else. He said, "Why did you call me good? There's no one good but God." And the next thing he said, "Good Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And what did Jesus? Jesus said, "There is none good but one." And then He reminded him of the commandments of God. He began to rehearse to him the commandments that he was supposed to keep. And he said, "Oh yeah, Lord, I've kept all those laws from my youth up." What a good man. He never went through the rebellious teenage years. Never pushed the limits with his parents. Oh no. Man, he did everything right, because he was a good boy. And Jesus said, "There's just one thing." Jesus loved him enough to tell him the truth. He said, there's just one thing you lack. Go and sell everything that you've got. Now that's not what most modern preachers would tell somebody that was young and wealthy and anxious to join the church. Man, they would be elevated real quick. Jesus didn't say, oh man, that's great. I want you to teach my disciple class. Might even have your mind, you know, this guy Judas here, maybe I could replace him. Yeah. Since you are so adept with handling money. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, go sell everything you got. Go give it to the poor. Yeah. And then take up your cross. Huh? Yeah. Not just giving things up, but taking up a cross. A lot of people can't even give anything up, much less take up their cross. But Jesus said, come, take up your cross. Come follow me. Just one thing he had to do to inherit eternal life. And he couldn't do it. Amen. There's nothing that's any harder than to give up something, amen, that you're in love with. If you are blessed, amen, it's so hard to give up security. If you have lots of material things, it's hard to give those things up. Amen. You become attached to those. But Jesus said, I want you to give it all up and come follow me. Amen. We can't even imagine the grief that was in that young man's heart. The Bible says he was grieved and he went away sorrowfully. Why? Because he had great possessions. The more you have, the more accountable you are to God. Do you want to be blessed? The more God blesses you with, the more responsibility you'll have. Hello? The Bible says, unto whom much is given. Oh, just tip the Lord every now and then. He enjoys a good tip. He wants you to be blessed. Devils hop up on, man, don't give that money to the church. They don't need it. Amen. You got more coats than you need. Don't give it to that poor man on the street. Amen. And too much is given. Much is required. Amen. You don't have much, God don't expect much. But He does expect what belongs to Him. Amen. Amen. If I got a dollar, praise God, I'm tickled to death. I can give God a dime. Amen. But the little widow lady, amen, Jesus was observing people. You think God doesn't watch what people give in church? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He sure did take an interest in it, amen, when He was at the temple. You don't think God watches the offering plate? And Brother Grissom didn't tell me to preach his sermon either. Amen, you don't think God doesn't watch what goes in the offering plate? It's not the amount that we give that He's concerned about. It's the spirit that we give it. Amen. It's not the dime that will send you to hell. It's the attitude that will send you to hell. Amen. A person that's greedy. A person that doesn't want to give. I don't know about you, but I wish I could give more. Lord, bless me. Amen. And let me give more. But you know what? If I'm not already giving, He already knows I'm lying. Amen. God knows, amen, what's in a man's heart. Amen. Because there was a little widow lady. Amen. He observed the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming in and making a big show of what they give. And we should never do that. We should never give to impress people. Amen. It doesn't matter what people think or how people may judge us. We know in our heart what we can give and what we can't give. Right? There's just one that's going to judge me, and that's God. Amen. I'm not worried about people. Amen. But I am worried about what He thinks. And Jesus was watching. Amen. And it just turned His stomach. Amen. Because a lot of these people gave to be seen of men. To receive honor and glory. Some people will give. If you'll build a monument or put their name on the front of the church, they'll give. If you take pledges and they have an opportunity to stand up and shout real loud, 500, they'll give. But if they have to give it anonymously, they're going to keep it in their pocket. I never did like that. Pledging and standing up and shouting thousands and ten thousands. Amen. I don't read that in the Word of God. The Bible says don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Amen. But I guess that doesn't apply to apostolics. Not any that I've seen, been around. Well, there are some exceptions. Amen. Praise God. One thing kept that man out of the kingdom of God. And that's because he was going to hold on to his money. He was going to hold on to his wealth. Amen. He didn't have any money. Amen. The money had him. He was in love with his possessions. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon means simply riches. You cannot be in love with materialism and love God. If we as a North American church are going to have revival, we're going to have to put it on the altar. We're going to have to make some sacrifices. Maybe we're going to have to live in some smaller houses. We might have to live in a barn. Amen. To really please God. Like Pastor. Amen. We might have to do some downsizing. We might have to drive a smaller, amen, vehicle. Amen. We might have to tighten our girth a little bit.
Amen.
Praise God. If we're going to please God, we might have to learn to live on a little less, amen, of materialism and live a little more on the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost. But whatever it takes, I want to press my way into the kingdom of heaven. I want to lay it down, amen, and I can enjoy the blessings of God. Sell it all. Amen. There's one scripture that I want to use in closing. In the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is returning to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch to ordain elders in the church. And the Bible says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if you'll give everything, if you will sacrifice, and you will sanctify everything that I give you, and you will use it for my glory and my honor. He said, whatever you give up, I'll bless you 100 times now in this present time. With houses, with brothers and sisters, with mothers and children, with lands. I'll bless you abundantly in the things of this present hour. And in the world to come, eternal life. But he also added something to that. He said, I'll not only give you blessings in this life, but it will come with With what? With persecutions. You're going to be persecuted for the name of Jesus. You're going to go through trials and tribulations. With all the blessings that God gives to you, and God will bless you, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have trials. You're going to have travail. Amen. Why? Because He wants you to press your way into the kingdom of God. Amen. If we enter the kingdom, it will be on purpose. Amen. If we have revival, it will be because we set our heart and our mind upon the things of God. That's the only way we'll have revival. As long as the picture show, as long as Hollywood, as long as entertainment venues are more important to you than revival, you'll never have revival. If you can miss church, amen, to listen to a concert or go to a basketball game or play bingo, if that's more important to you than having revival, you'll never have revival. It's very doubtful that you'll even make it into the kingdom of God. Jesus told the rich young ruler, you got to put it all on the altar. You got to surrender everything. Oh God, I'd like for you to stand tonight. And I pray that as you bow your heads right now, would you bow your heads with me? That you'll pray, God, if there's anything that I'm holding back, God, if there's anything that I'm doing that's hindering my walk with God, God, if there's anything that's preventing you from blessing me, God, if there's anything that you're not pleased with, that's a mark, a blemish upon my testimony, God, I want you to help me, amen, to surrender it right now. God, I'm willing to lay it on the altar, whatever it is. Amen. If it's cigarettes, amen, God, I'm willing to lay it on the altar. Amen. If it's pornography, God, I'm willing to lay it on the altar. Amen. If it's pride, I'll lay it on the altar. If it's gossip, God, I will, amen, I'll lay it on the altar. If it's criticism, God, oh God, whatever it is, God, I'm willing to surrender to you right now. God, if you're having a struggle to have compassion, amen, if you've got a judgmental spirit, amen, God's able to take that away from you. Hallelujah. If it's a love of material things, a love of money, God is able to help you to surrender that tonight. Because you can't hold on to that, amen, and take it with you. Amen. The rich young ruler was not fit for the kingdom because he wasn't willing. You've got to be willing. God, I'll surrender it. Amen. If you love your house, amen, more than you love God, amen, that you're going to forfeit the blessings of God. But if you'll give everything, if you'll give the house, amen, if you'll give up relationships, if you'll give up material things for the kingdom's sake, He said, I will reward you 100-fold in this present time and in the world to come. Eternal life. Now who wouldn't respond to a promise like that? Amen. If Brother Fry was here, he'd say, what a deal. What a deal. Amen. Can we make a deal tonight? Come, let us reason together. If you'll bring your rags, He'll, amen, clothe you in riches. If you'll bring, amen, your heartache, oh, He'll bring healing and deliverance and peace and joy. Whatever it is that you, amen, are struggling with tonight, if you'll surrender to Jesus, amen, He will reward you.